Hello and welcome to Layers, a podcast about style and how we get dressed with Anna Kinsler and me, Stevie Mackenzie Smith. Today's theme is handsome.
Have you ever been called handsome, Stevie?
I don't think I have been called handsome. I'd like to be called handsome.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Maybe we should put out a memo.
Can people just please start calling us
handsome?
Call
me handsome. Ask me about being handsome.
That could set us up for a lot of awkward conversations. Maybe people just don't think we're handsome enough.
Do you feel like there was a time when handsomeness became appealing to you? And handsomeness for yourself, I mean, not other people being handsome.
I think probably in two waves. Probably when I was younger and I started to like the style of people like Katharine Hepburn or Diane Keaton in various Woody Allen films and that sort of thing. Like people, women who do, I guess, in that kind of defying the conventions of gendered dressing in that kind of way. Like, and it's very one particular way, but that kind of way.
Yeah.
The second wave came when, more recently really, when I realised I have a bit of a strange face.
Wow.
And I thought maybe handsome is just will be a better descriptor.
That's an I feel the same. The way you, I mean, I feel the same in both of those cases. Actually, I can identify with what you just said. But when it comes to looking at your own face in the mirror, and feeling like maybe the descriptors that are used generally for women don't fit, and I have always felt like pretty. I've never felt pretty. I've never felt. Like I seek those words, and that felt like one that did work.
Yeah, I think I spent a long time longing to be beautiful in a very particular way, and then at one point, probably not all at once, but I kind of realised, well, that's a waste of time. Why not aim for something else?
Yeah.
So maybe now, for the rest of my life, it's about trying to be handsome.
When I've had this conversation with other people, they have said that they found the idea of being called handsome a little bit derogatory. Like it's the sort of thing that a man might
second
say.
Place.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be that way.
No.
I think we can demand more from the words we put on a woman's physical worth, essentially. And they don't have to be so limited.
Yeah, and I think maybe handsome for me is a way of moving away from talking about beauty. Which is just really what I want in general, for us to be able to move away from that.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
It's sort of a standby placeholder until we've got to a point where maybe we're not thinking that we need to use those sorts of words
and
anymore.
And it's as open as you want it to be.
Yeah.
I think it's a good word.
Handsome it is.
So the beard is like a layer of eyeshadow, like dark brown eyeshadow. And then I use a stipple brush, which is like a little sponge that you dip into. I dip it into a kind of liquid eyeshadow eyeliner. I don't actually know what, it's just a sort of, I'm not using it for what it's meant to be used for. I get it from a makeup shop, and I'm sure it's used for something else, but it's like a kind of liquidy. And then I dip the stipple brush in it and then dot it on to get the stubble effect. And then on top of that, I put a bit of fake glue and some theatre hair. Although I do know that drag kings who would use their own hair.
Oh, wow.
But I have not been organised enough to do that when I go to the hairdressers.
I mean, yeah, take your pot with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Head hair?
Yeah, head hair, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, important distinction.
My name is Georgia Spikel and I'm a drag king. I've been doing drag for about 3 years as a George Michael impersonator. So my character is inspired by George Michael.
And how did that come about?
There was a competition on at a venue called The Glory, which is in Dalston. And they were just advertising this competition, which was very open. It seemed like you didn't have to have any experience to take part. It seemed like really quite welcoming. And I thought, oh, that would be fun. Like, I'll do that for one night only kind of thing. And then you do drag and then it's really addictive. And then I just sort of like through doing that kind of met people and started getting invited to do other gigs and kind of made a bit of like a network with other drag kings. And then it sort of spiraled on from there. And that was actually a little, that was probably about 8 months before George Michael passed away. And so I was kind of, you know, doing drag, just sort of in quite an amateur kind of hobby way. And then when George Michael passed away, it sort of, the desire to see performances of George Michael's work, obviously kind of really, there was quite a high demand for that, as in people, I think people really wanted to see, yeah, performances of George Michael's songs, as a way to remember him, as a way to mark his legacy. And I also had more of a desire to perform because I felt like there was something important to say in terms of remembering, in terms of celebrating his work in a particular way, which I think as a queer person, it was quite important to me to celebrate the more subversive kind of political elements of his life, which I was worried might get straightened out like after his death.
Yeah.
And then I just really got sucked in after that. For some reason, I really did have this in my mind of like, if I ever was going to do drag and get on stage, it would be to a George Michael song, if not as a George Michael inspired character. I don't know how that came about. I think it was because whenever I was at parties, that like George Michael songs would always come on, and then I just had watched a lot of George Michael videos and would kind of know a lot of the words and know a lot of the dance routines.
You're a big fan.
I'm a big fan, and I think, yeah, there was maybe like quite a lot of crossover in terms of like style references.
Okay.
With George Michael.
What you mean with your personal style?
Yeah, I think so. So I think there was some element of the type of like kind of masculinity that he presents I really resonated with, and that, yeah, had led to me being like quite a big fan. And yeah, I just love his look. I love his style. Something that I've learned through drag is that a lot of what we present about gender and a lot of what we present about ourselves is through like our accoutrements and the things that we put on, the things that we take off. And that's what's been so fascinating about the process of kind of how a beard, for example, changes your face. And so with impersonating George Michael, there's so many things that are quite iconic with him. I mean, he's quite a good person to impersonate because he had some real like iconic fixed looks, like the Faith era. He pretty much only wore a leather jacket, like those sort of washed out denim jeans, the cowboy boots. He had his hairstyle in a certain way. He had this really like neat tailored beard that was just, what's the word? Yeah, just really, really neat.
Spray painted on.
Yeah, like it was like almost drawn on
yeah.
To his face and just like designer stubble.
Is that the Faith era is the earring as well, right?
And the earring, the cross earring. The crucial cross earring, which I have several of because I often lose them after the show. And also I have, my partner wears one when they come to my gigs. And I have a couple of friends as well who have their own earrings. We all wear them. It's a kind of,
a
sign of respect and part of the fan club. I really like the video to Outside. I think Outside is like one of my favorite videos in terms of what it stands for. I think he references some really interesting style things. So that obviously he has like a very, what's the word? He sort of queers the police uniform in a way that is very pleasing because it's obviously a reclamation of the fact that he got arrested and then instead of kind of hiding away underneath the stone, he decided to be really bold. That video is also incredibly 90s. There's like a scene of I can't remember if it's but someone on the roof or someone in an elevator, but like there's this guy with like a really big puffer jacket and like one of those sort of, it's not a Jamiroquai hat, but it's sort of
like a kind riffing of off that
kind of trilby hat, which is of a particular era of the 90s, and these like really, really baggy jeans, just doing that sort of arm thing where you're kind of putting your arm out a lot.
It's a very classic video, isn't it?
Yeah, it is definitely. And I have. Is that too much? Okay. Well, see,
is it
so
like,
we can.
Would it be okay to close the door on it?
Yeah, we can close the door on him. I just wonder if you might still be able to.
Yeah.
We could see
how it sounds even with the door closed. Like if it just muffles it a little bit.
But should I take? Can I take this?
Yeah,
off and
sure.
Then,
yeah, cool. Yeah, you got it.
He just sit here and cuddle him for the whole time.
Maybe. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, you can sense it.
I mean, we can see. It's sort of
okay. Yeah, let's just play it by ear.
Yeah.
if it happens again, then we can.
Yeah, totally.
But he's had his tea, like he's had all the things he needs.
Hello. I'm just getting interested in the wires now. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll probably try and.
How does it work when you've got a gig coming up? Like, what are the elements that you, like, how are you doing the beard? Mm. Like, what are some of the elements that you are working on in terms of makeup? And also, how did that come about? That's just a lot of studying music videos and.
Yeah, ironically, I was never very good at makeup or didn't see myself as being someone who had makeup skills at all before I started doing drag. In the sense that I was a real tomboy, I still very much would dress probably in quite a tomboyish sort of butch way, although that has sort of changed in recent years. But I didn't have like loads of knowledge of makeup, and through doing drag have gained like much more confidence in terms of the illusions that you can create through makeup. Although, is it an illusion? I don't know. So I learned to do drag makeup largely through watching YouTube tutorials. There's a lot of other drag kings who give lots of good tips. The beard is something that I feel, like the beard that I create for George's Michael is something I feel very proud about. It's a three-stage process, which starts with, well, four if you count the contouring. You do your kind of like layer of contouring, you get your face.
All over the face, the contouring? Or just in the like jaw area?
Yeah, I would contour. There's like different areas of face that I would contour. Jaw's quite important, so the sides of your jaw to get a bit of a jawline and also to maybe a bit more of a... My face is already a little quite square. I have quite a strong jawline, so I try to emphasize that. Mm-hmm. And then I do a bit of contouring on the forehead as well to try and get kind of a bit more shape in the middle of the eyes. It's quite hard to describe how you contour, but yeah, I kind of just watch YouTube tutorials and then try to follow, like, I look at pictures of George Michael and try to follow how his face looks. I think I've had a fairly complicated relationship to clothes in the sense that because I didn't, like, I think... My relationship with gender hasn't always been as straightforward, and doing drag has made it feel much more straightforward and has given me a real outlet for a bit of an outlet for being a bit more genderqueer, but also for kind of appreciating parts of myself that maybe I felt quite self-conscious about before. So I felt quite self-conscious about some of the more masculine elements of how I would walk or how I would hold myself, and through doing drag I've been able to really celebrate that, subsequently have become much more comfortable with my own femininity as well. In this sort of strange in that conversation that's happened through doing drag. I mean, I don't know if I can pull off a leather jacket in the same way that George Michael can when I'm not in drag.
When you're at the news agents.
Yeah, when I'm at the news agents.
Oh, yeah, why not? That's
I have had some funny moments where I've been getting ready for gigs or just trying out makeup at home, and then I've been taking out the bins, and I've like had to do a little hi to the neighbours, and I've just been like, oh, George Michael's taking out the bins. I think I just gained a lot of confidence about my body and about my ability to wear clothes through doing drag. I think I often felt like clothes sort of hung awkwardly on me, or which was probably to do more with how I saw myself than with reality of how things actually hung. And I think that doing drag has just made me feel more comfortable and being more at peace with myself, because I have a little bit more control over how I look as well. I've learned that you can modify how you look, and that can change, that can sort of express something that's inside. Whereas I felt like maybe I wasn't able to really truly express myself through my clothes before, whereas now I understand clothes a bit more, I think.
Yeah.
So it's definitely influenced my like everyday style in terms of being more myself, but also now I'm much more likely to wear lipstick, weirdly, which is one thing that's happened. One of my favorite looks to do if I'm going out to like a queer night, I'll wear like lipstick, and then I might put like on a fake little moustache, and I like that. That's like a look that I feel really comfortable with.
Like it's kind of like what sort of moustache are we talking? Like a
sort of Freddie Mercury moustache.
Okay. Oh yeah. Amazing. Like,
sort of channeling kind of quite camp aesthetic.
Yeah, and obviously we're sort of talking about handsomeness. Do you think firstly, how do you feel about the idea of handsomeness? Do you think, because some people feel like it's a total compliment, and I think some people also feel like it can be a bit of a sort of veiled insult, and I think a lot of that depends on where you are on the gender spectrum and how you feel about that word sometimes, and who, and whether it's like what gender person it is who's calling you handsome as well. So how do you feel about the word?
I think it's really interesting to think about the word handsome as not attached to assigned male at birth bodies, and what that means, and what happens when you start referring to people as handsome outside of that. Personally, I really resonate with, I'm happy to be called handsome. If people want to call me handsome, please, that's great, then I'll take it. Yeah, something that I've learned through doing drag is, because as I said, I didn't have loads of body confidence before doing drag. And I don't know, I think my aesthetic is quite a handsome aesthetic, weirdly, which is not something I set out to do, but maybe something I could have expected, because George Michael is seen as being an attractive man, but also something I know through doing lots of reading about him and reading around his life is that he also really struggled with being confident in himself.
Interesting.
So he often, and I think that's probably, you know, the experience of a lot of young men, like young gay men, growing up in quite a heterosexist society with certain ideas about gender and certain ideas about how people should present. And subsequently, he didn't see himself as very attractive when he was growing up and didn't have that feeling. I don't know if I would put him in, he is a handsome, he's a sort of swoony pop star, but I don't know if he is like what I would categorize as handsome, because he's got so much character. I don't know. Yeah, would you rather be handsome or would you rather be characterful? I feel like I'd rather be characterful.
Like it's
have a bit more of personality.
Yeah,
there's a certain type of like femininity that's really handsome as well, like Grace Jones, I feel like is handsome. I mean, she's also incredibly characterful. Mm-hmm. She's got like such a strong personality, but the way that she sort of cuts a definition, and some of her, like, yeah, her looks where she's got a suit and she's just like cutting this real sort of sharp silhouette. She's very handsome.
Yeah, I anyone else that kind of springs to mind? But were you thinking about this at all when you were thinking about how you wanted to approach that first competition? Like, were there other people that you thought you might want to bring into the performance?
Yeah, for me it was always George Michael. When I was first approaching that competition, the main thing that I was trying to channel was joy, because he's very joyful when he performs, especially the young sort of Wham era, that which is what I did for the first competition. He's like incredibly happy. Like, it makes you feel incredibly happy to watch his energy on stage. I'd like to do some other characters. It's kind of on my list of to-dos. I'd like to explore some other gay male characters, like Freddie Mercury or Perfume Genius is another one who's like a contemporary one.
Anna's a big fan.
But I feel like Perfume Genius is maybe a bit too current for an impersonator at this point, but we'll see.
You can follow Georges Michael on Instagram and keep abreast of all their upcoming performances at Georges Michael.
I'm really interested in what Georges Michael said about the power of small things to change your relationship with your body and your confidence and, you know, your own relative levels of masculinity or femininity or either or neither. You know, the little things they mentioned, like the accoutrements, the earrings, the beard, and so on. And it also kind of, more broadly speaking, it made me think about what is the point in kind of dressing to be yourself or be more yourself or less yourself. It kind of made me think, you know, are we ever really ourselves in how we dress? And if so, how can we express that? Can we express it properly? Like, do you have any outfits where you feel like, well, this is definitely me?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I don't. I think it's a constantly changing thing. I can't pinpoint one particular outfit. Maybe there's a series from different times that meant different things in different moments. Lately, I've been wearing the same outfit every day, and that's what I'm wearing right now. It's a hand-me-down roll neck, a pair of H&M navy pinstripe trousers, the brightly coloured socks from the M&S men's sock pack. That five, we've got about five different people onto wearing them, I think. Anyway, right now, this feels like me, but also in a sort of unthinking, just getting up and putting something on everyday way. And I know that in 6 months' time, there'll be a different outfit that will feel like me.
And also, it's not like you're less yourself if you're wearing something else.
Totally.
You know, you are who you are fundamentally. But it is interesting the fact that clothes can alter the levels of how we feel in touch with ourselves.
We might have talked about this before, but it's something that I always come back to, of feeling sort of like I'm maybe undermining myself, my real self, my interests, if I'm not somehow reflecting them via what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
To the outside world. Broadcasting, exactly. And when there are days, if I'm just wearing something that feels a bit like I'm kind of slumming it a little bit at home, and I decide I'm going to go out and kind of keep wearing those clothes, I feel really self-conscious about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of that feeling of, well, I don't want this to be me.
Yeah. You feel like you're settling or something.
Mm. Yeah. I remember you saying something a while ago that really stuck with me. And I think that Carl had disputed this idea of being the best version of yourself.
Yes, I was going to a kind of a job interview at one point. And I had like the usual kind of job interview jitters and nerves about it. And I was explaining this to my partner, Carl. And I was saying, and it's so annoying that on top of these regular jitters about, am I the right person for this job? How do I get that across? Et cetera, et cetera. I also have to confront, I also need to dress in such a way that projects the best image of myself, because it's a fashion interview and I need to be the best, most stylish Anna so I can get this job, and I have to be the best version of myself. And Carl kind of looked at me and he said, well, there's only one version of me and it's me. And I was kind of like frustrated with,
men
are treated differently in how they dress, and especially in the workplace and everything, than women. But also it's a good point.
Yeah. And I think you told me about it in an offhand way, and it really stayed with me. I find the idea very relaxing.
Yeah.
There is no higher version of me that I need to strive to be.
Yeah. You can change little things and you can project certain things, but you're who you are fundamentally.
And that's okay.
My favourite season to get dressed in, as of weeks ago now, is probably winter, because I'm now the proud owner of some long johns, some technical underfabrics, a coat that feels like a very thick sleeping bag that's unwearable if it's above about 4 degrees Celsius. So that's good with me.
I think I flit around a lot. And I hanker after different seasons that are not currently happening. And I like the idea, when it's coming to the end of winter, of being able to wear sandals. But in summer, I'm longing for being able to layer and wear different jumpers. So it's a work in progress.
It's kind of a hard question, because if I could wear anything, I would just wear cashmere jumpers from eBay and jeans all the time. It's like my favourite kind of outfit, and it suits a multitude of occasions. But there's something about taking out all of my vintage clothes every summer, and I've got a collection of vintage dresses and skirts and shirts, and the make quality and the prints and stuff like that is something that can't really be replicated, and so that makes it feel really special. So I think for me, summer is the winning season, because I get to take out all these kind of vintage treasures that I wear again and again, and have done so for, 15, 20 years.
Even though I really do love summer, and it's a real pleasure to be able to walk and cycle around in shirt sleeves or bare arms, I think the first day that I can legitimately wear like a heavyweight trench coat or a leather jacket, kind of stepping into that crispness of autumn, I think that's probably my favourite season. And boots and, dark layers. Yeah.
I think whichever season has just begun, because then you get to wear the clothes you haven't worn since the last time it was that season. But if I just had to pick one season, it would be summer, because I hate being cold and I have some really beautiful lightweight summer coats.
Summer, because I like not wearing coats and it's fun to play around in all of the grass.
I like autumn, so I can wear tights and jumpers and shortish skirts and boots. But then, having said that, I also like that bit where you can suddenly wear only a few things. You don't have to worry about a coat. So autumn and summer.
Good, thanks. I'm sitting on a beanbag, so I'm just gonna like put my laptop on a table so that the noise of this beanbag doesn't like make come up on the recording.
Emma Hope Allwood is head of fashion at Days Digital, and I chatted to her about handsomeness.
What are your thoughts on women being described as handsome? Do you regard that as a compliment or derogatory?
Yeah, I think it's a compliment. I love describing women as handsome. I love handsome women. I think that there's a certain power that comes, especially from a woman describing another woman as handsome, especially in a queer context. I think that that's exciting and subversive. And so I think the word handsome for me is quite a magnetic one. Because if you're using it as a woman, talking about a woman, then it's just, you know, you're kind of imbuing it with a different charge than the way that we usually use it, which is, you know, for kind of like dashing straight white men. So yeah, I think the word handsome is a great word. My ex, who was a girl, liked being called handsome rather than pretty, and it suited her better than these kind of really typical feminine words that we use to describe women or attractive women. I also don't like the word pretty, really. I think it's kind of parochial or infantilizing. I mean, if a man said that I was handsome, I'll take a compliment, but I think that it's different in a female to female and specifically a queer context as well.
How do you feel about where you are now with your personal style compared to where you were maybe like in your late teens or early 20s? How do you feel about it?
Well, I think I don't know if I personally identify, like, I'm not sure I would call myself handsome. I'm not sure if that's like for me to say, but in terms of my style and also gender identity, I really enjoy being a woman, but I also like kind of being aware of the performative nature of femininity. So I enjoy on some days putting makeup on, getting in an outfit that's particularly feminine. Like, I love bias cut silk, anything. And I also love wearing high heels, and I wear heels like quite a lot. But then at other times I want to kind of lean in more to this, you know, my masculinity, and maybe wear something that is less feminine. Maybe it's I have like a great kind of boiler suit that I got on eBay from like a plumber website.
Oh, wow.
And I'll wear that, but then, and it's, you know, I was going to say utilitarian, but it's not utilitarian. It's utilitarian if you're a man and you have a penis that you can kind of wipe out the front of it, but it's not utilitarian if you're a woman. And yet we call utilitarian clothes that when it's a jumpsuit, which anyway, so that's something that annoys me. It has got lots of pockets though, but anyway. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy wearing this like plumber jumpsuit, but with a pair of tabby boots, for instance. And I think that I've become more accepting of the more like masculine side of my style, wanting to wear, you know, blazers and that kind of thing. But I don't come down on one side or the other. I think that I'm still feminine, but I will just kind of play with the nuances and I really enjoy the kind of the ways that different items of clothing have different, like, you know, signify different things, whether that's a like a white t-shirt with the sleeves cut off is a very kind of butch thing, but then on me it's maybe a bit more feminine. I think, you know, I'm not gay or straight, I'm bisexual, so I'm kind of in this like this middle place where I feel like I can lean into both sides, if that makes sense. I think that my style just represents me, but it changes. It really changes on based on the day. And one day I'll come into work and I'll be looking, you know, like super dressed up, and then another time I'll just be wearing like jeans and like an old t-shirt. So
how do you get dressed for work? Like, would you wear what you wear outside of work to work? Like, obviously you work in an office where people are interested in fashion and are very fashionably dressed compared to, I'm sure, lots of other offices across the UK.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I'm like, oh, I've got to dress up to go into the office. If anything, it's like the opposite. If anything, I'm like, I have to dress up because I'm going to something after work, or I'm going to see someone, or I'm, you know, like, I'm dressing up not for the people I work with. I don't really wear makeup at work, rarely. I think in the morning it really just depends on my mood and the person I feel like being that day. I'm definitely someone that's really, really impacted by the outfit that I wear in terms of my mood. And if I have like left the house wearing something that I don't actually feel comfortable in, then it will really throw me off for the whole day. So I think that I draw a lot of power from my clothing. But I think it's more that I feel clothes help me to become the person that I am, or kind of they help to elevate the person that I already am. I don't put on a uniform, or I don't see clothes as armor. I see clothes as kind of just helping me to embody myself more fully. I don't think clothes are an armor for me. I think they're just an extension of myself.
And you mentioned a minute ago that you don't really wear much makeup to work. On the subject of handsome, I think that maybe whether or not you wear makeup at work, and certainly depending on what your workplace is sort of more of a big deal than the clothes that you wear sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I really like overthink it. I think maybe if I was in a work environment where people did really put an effort in to do their eye makeup perfectly every day, and there are some women who I work with who do, but I just, you know, when it comes down to it and I'm like getting ready in the morning, like sometimes I can't be bothered. Most of the time I can't be bothered. So really it just comes down to that. And that I you know, that's something that's definitely changed from when I was a teenager. I was, as all teenage girls are, insecure. I wore thick eyeliner I drew like a cat eye eyeliner every day for like probably the best part of 10 years. And I don't know, again, since I've kind of come into myself more as just a person, I don't feel the need to wear makeup all the time. I really, really enjoy makeup, and I enjoy the way that makeup makes me feel. And you know, if I'm going somewhere after work, or I'm seeing someone at the weekend, then yeah, absolutely, I like putting some makeup on. But I definitely don't feel like at work I have to look a certain way or make myself up in a certain way for people to take me seriously or to hear what I have to say, because I know that they hear it anyway.
That's so wonderful, because that's definitely a dynamic that can sort of hinder people sometimes, you know, depending on their attitude to makeup. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter whether you wear makeup at work or not, but the responses that it can elicit in other people in relation to your perceived professionalism. Sometimes I've just made decisions that of course I'll wear makeup to work, because the comments that I get on days when I'm not wearing makeup is so noticeable. And I guess when, you know, we're talking about this idea of handsomeness, maybe I have this idea in my head of, I really love the kind of descriptor, handsome woman. And I guess that in my head, I'm imagining this woman who just is really unaffected by these small everyday work related issues, and just wouldn't wear makeup and wouldn't care and wouldn't have anyone else responding. I guess it's like a utopian vision to be for any woman in a workplace, for it to just not be an issue. So that's well done. That's great that you have unlocked that level.
Thank you. I think that this idea of handsomeness, you know, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and we looked up in the dictionary, and it and the definition did say that it was pertaining to men. But I don't associate it rigidly with maleness. I associate it with masculinity, but a kind of masculinity that exists without men, which I think is, you know, completely possible. And there's a great book by Jack Halberstam called Female Masculinity, which is it's about masculinity without men and how that's embodied by different women. So I think that handsomeness to me can exist without ideas of maleness, basically.
Is there an archetypal handsome woman to you that sort of fits what you've described, that masculinity without men?
Yeah, oh my god, there so is. There's this Tamara de Lempicka portrait of this Duchess de la Salle or Salle. And I don't know when I first saw this painting, but I think it's just I'm obsessed with it. It's the woman I want to be completely. If I ever get a tattoo, like it might be some kind of rendition of this. So it's this Duchess who was in this biography of de Lempicka, she's described as this kind of aggressive lesbian who hung out in Paris and just wore tuxedos. And she in this painting, she has a kind of short cropped bob, and she's wearing a man's suit, and she has one leg up on a step, and she's wearing riding boots, and she's got one hand in her pocket and the other is kind of like resting on something. And it's so powerful, intimidating, evocative, super erotic. I think it's just like one of the best pictures ever. Because to me it's feminine, but it embodies these ideas of, you know, strength, self-confidence, assertiveness that we, I think, unfairly regard as masculine traits. I think she is my archetypal handsome woman.
I've actually just Googled this image because I needed to see it. And I mean, she's amazing. And she's wearing lots of black, which you wear a lot of black, right?
Yeah, very me.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that you're halfway there. Have you got any riding boots?
You know, I don't. I'll work on it.
Maybe that's the next item in your shopping list.
Yeah. But I think that's another thing in terms of how my style has changed. Previously, if I was going to a party, I'm sure I would have just been like, oh, wear a dress. Or, you know, I say party, I guess I mean more kind of like an event, a work event, a fancy event. And now I really like wearing a suit. I don't really wear shirts. So I will just usually wear an old YSL, the smoking jacket, and then I'll wear just a bra underneath it or something with the black trousers and then heels. So it's the combination of masculine and feminine that I just find really, I hate describing things as empowering because I think it's such an overused buzzword. But that I do find personally empowering in that I feel it represents me in a nuanced way.
Do you buy like matching suits, or do you buy individual blazers and bottoms, or where do you buy these suits from?
Yeah, I don't have like a proper, I mean, oh my god, all I want in the world is a new Celine suit. Like I was at the show, and I know that everyone is like mourning the loss of Phoebe. I'm not the Celine woman that has been. I'm not that like chic gallerist. But oh my god, I want to be the new Celine woman in her, like there was a girl wearing a black suit with a white shirt and then a really skinny black tie, and I was like, oh my god, that's the woman I want to be. So like I want that suit, but currently no, I just have kind of like I have, the only blazers I have are Saint Laurent ones. I have, but all from different eras. Like I have a Rive Gauche one, an old one, and then I have a Hedy one, and this, the Le Smoking jacket is I think it's I think it's probably Pilati era, because it's not, it's vintage, but it's not super old. But I would love, I'd really like to get some old Gaultier blazers, because they have good shoulders. Also old Mugler. Those are like the, those are the things that I'm kind of, you know, looking out for at some point. But it's about just waiting until these things find you, I think.
You can follow Emma on Instagram at Emma Hope All, and you can see her work online at Days Digital. I find it interesting how closely Emma links handsomeness to her own identity as a woman. I find that kind of inspirational. I also find it interesting that, you know, kind of related to that, to her, there was something like kind of romantic or maybe even erotic in a way about the idea of strength and confidence as a woman, and that like it kind of goes beyond, you know, a magazine telling you to wear the clothes that you feel comfortable in. You know, like it's on a different plane in a way.
I liked the way that she was holding up that Tamara de Lempicka painting as the woman that she wanted to be, in a way that it felt like she was almost there anyway. And sometimes I think, don't worry about trying to be people or trying to project art onto how you get dressed. But that one actually felt really fitting.
Yeah, no, of course. It's nice to have those little tie-ins.
Something that I noticed during our conversation was how easy it is to fall into this trap of gendering certain items of clothing. And it, so it seems quite out of step with the ways that we talk about gender these days. It's just so easy to say a blazer is masculine, or a suit is masculine, or a suit is androgynous. And it's definitely something that lots of fashion magazines still do in quite a lazy way. This whole idea that you can add a masculine edge to an outfit with a certain item of clothing. Like, what is a masculine edge? What is that?
And if I saw a woman in the office wearing a suit, I would be like, well, in my industry, I'd be like, why are you wearing a suit? But
no trainers.
Yeah. But no, I just don't think that, to me, that it doesn't seem to be anything kind of subversive in booking those conventions in that way anymore. And I think fashion and society more broadly, but especially like the fashion industry, loves to be like, oh, this is a very subversive act when, you know, a designer puts some tailoring on the runway. Yeah. It just doesn't seem subversive to me at all. We've been past that.
Sure, it was at some point, but it feels like we're just, the language has been left over. And
it was,
I realised that I probably fall into that trap myself while doing it.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
From now on, I probably will think twice about it.
Yeah, I think we're better for the expansion that we have now. Thanks for listening. Layers is produced by Lucy Dearlove. You can follow us on Instagram at layers.podcast.
And tweet us and tell us what you're wearing. We are at Layers Podcast. If you like Layers, tell your friends to listen to.